Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm checking. I put up a poll, Seth. You and I were talking earlier in the show. Poll for Texan fans. If the Texans were able to trade Deshaun Watson to the Dolphins, who would you rather have as your QB to start the 2022 season? Not 2021, 2022. So after next year's draft,
yeah,
the choices are Tua and a top five 2022 draft pick. Who do you think is winning the poll between Tua and a top five 2022 draft pick to start for the Texans, not this coming season, but in 2022?
I'm trying to factor in. I think a lot of people are going to read that and think that you're saying a straight-up trade for Deshaun and Tua. So they're going to be, in their frame of minds, they're going to be thinking, like, well, no, screw that. Yeah. I want the top five draft pick. Yeah. So you're going to get the people that would have voted for the top five plus people that are offended by their hypothetical trade.
Yep.
I think most people, I'm going to say 79% want a top five draft pick.
84%.
84%.
84%. Yeah. But that's a really good point by you about how I phrased the question. If I had phrased it, if they were able to complete a trade for Deshaun, Tua, and complete a trade for Deshaun to the Dolphins for Tua and three first-round picks, you know, that kind of thing. Like, it's not just a straight-up Tua, because a Tua for Watson trade would be the biggest kick in the junk of all time. That would be the worst.
If it was just straight-up Tua for Deshaun Watson.
That would be awful.
And on it, I'll keep going back to this. Teams don't trade away quarterbacks that they think have promising futures.
Mm-hmm.
If the Dolphins think that Tua could be a really good quarterback in the league, then they wouldn't be trying to trade for Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's, yes, the bird in the hand is always better than two in the bush, all that. But as soon as it's kind of like a, it's like buying a new car, Sean, you know, you lose $5,000 or however much the day it leaves the lot.
Yep.
It loses that luster. That's what's going to happen with Tua. Now, you could say, okay, didn't that happen with Ryan Tannehill? Then he ended up being way better in Tennessee than he did in Miami. Sure, you can say that, and then you also have to be reminded that Ryan Tannehill is the extreme exception.
That's right.
Like, for every Ryan Tannehill that gets traded away after being somewhat of a disappointment or an underwhelming first-round pick, there's 10, 15, 20 Josh Rosens.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny that it always comes back to Miami on this.
Yeah, because
Rosen
spent some time in Miami. That's true.
One other reason, I forgot this. I keep forgetting to bring this up. Mm-hmm. One other reason that the Dolphins might still be extra interested in Deshaun Watson, co-offensive coordinator George Gotsi.
Wait, who is Gotsi with? The Dolphins?
The Dolphins.
Is he?
I didn't even realize that he was co-offensive coordinator.
Oh, my God. They didn't cross paths here, did they? Didn't they fired Gotsi after the Brock Osweiler debacle, I think.
Oh, that's right. Yep, you're right.
I think
you're
they fought. Yeah, so
yeah, the OC is
so I'm
George
sure
Gotsi
Deshaun heard all kinds of great things about Gotsi when he was a Texan.
I don't know. You know who gave George Gotsi credit was Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's
he
true.
He said that Bill O'Brien and George Gotsi taught him to think about the game differently.
That's true.
And I do think that there is that part of it. That offense, when you teach it in the classroom, it's the perfect offense. It gives you an answer for everything with a whole lot more complexity than, say, like an old West Coast system technically has answers for everything, but defenses start to get wise to it and they figure it out a little bit. So it's not as easy as, oh, there's always an answer for everything.
Yeah.
But when you add wrinkles and complexity to any system, then yeah, it's the perfect way to play football if you can pull it off. It's just not that many people can pull it off.
Boy, you made some people angry on the text page with your, You disgust me, Seth. That's all this
says. What about Chicago Whataburger?
Yes, yes. Someone said, I have a buddy who's Texas forever and Texas everything. Nothing gets him more irritated than calling Whataburger a Chicago chain that's trickling its way down to Kansas City and on its way to Texas. Anthony is somewhere in Houston trying to figure out how to punch Seth through the radio.
Well, let's see. It's kind of the same way, Carbach got bought by Budweiser, but they retained a lot of autonomy. They're mm-hmm. able to run themselves still like a small brewery.
Okay.
I think Whataburger is the same way. It's still it's owned by a firm out of Chicago, but it's still run like a Texas organization.
I want to get one of those Whataburger shirts that they're giving away at one of the Astros minor league parks. I forget which. I think it's in Corpus.
Well, Corpus would be it's Whataburger Field.
That's Whataburger Field. Yeah, there were a few people sitting at the Astros Orioles game.
Oh, you're talking about the actual jerseys.
The actual jerseys. Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the giveaways they have up there. So those
there's another minor league team that has Chick-fil-A jerseys.
I want one of those too.
No, they suck because they're smiling and gracious all the time. They're they're running around. They're like big Broadway smiles on their faces. It's to the point where they're letting people slide in and not even try to tag them because they're so damn polite.
I am not going to let you besmirch the good name of Chick-fil-A.
I'm not. I'm saying take your average Chick-fil-A employee and then put them in an athletic environment. They're too nice.
They are
too
nice.
Gracious.
Okay,
they're
I see
courteous.
What you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to impede your progress, good sir. Here you go. Come home quickly.
Right.
Our goal is to get them around this circle as fast as humanly possible, to the point that by the time he's running into home base, he doesn't even have his credit card put away.
That's right.
You're handing him a chicken sandwich.
That's right. In football. Yeah, kind sir, would you like to tackle my quarterback over here? 713.
I'd be delighted to throw this football directly into your hands.
Directly to the opposite jersey. Yes, absolutely. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on what's today? Tuesday. Tom Brady. Is this a drive-by on one of his former teammates? He made a brief comment on The Shop, the HBO, that was in the trailer for this week's show. Which NFL quarterback did Tom Brady do this curse-laden drive-by on? We will have the audio for you next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so Tom Brady is going to be on The Shop. That's the barbershop show on HBO. I think LeBron produces it. And he's very vigilant about holding on to the barbershop brand, as Nick Saban found out.
He was upset that Nick Saban had a similar web stream show where they sat in a barbershop talking.
Right.
LeBron claims he's invented many things like bonus albums, Taco Tuesday.
Yeah.
LeBron likes to take things that he likes and decide that, oh, I invented this.
That's
like,
right.
Like many young princes do. They, mm-hmm. They've got an inflated sense of their accomplishments.
That's right. So The Shop is LeBron's show on HBO. And apparently Tom Brady is going to be one of the guests on an upcoming episode. And they had a trailer for it that was running yesterday. And the one little snippet they had from Tom Brady was talking about a team that was in the running for his services before he signed with Tampa Bay. Here's what Tom Brady said.
One of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that motherfucker.
Okay, so that was the whole clip, but just, it was a team that was in for him at the very end, and Brady's thought was, you're sticking with that mother peeper? So, Seth, we now need to go through and see which teams it could have been that were in the market for Tom Brady, where they would have a quarterback that was far enough beneath Brady to where he would call him that mother bleeper.
Yeah.
I think most people think that the chalk, like, and when I say chalk, I mean like heavy favorite, is San Francisco and Jimmy Garoppolo. That Brady, San Francisco would have been a logical landing spot. Tom Brady is from Northern California. He grew up rooting for the 49ers. Quarterback was the reason that they hadn't won a Super Bowl back in 2019. And we know that Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo, if there were a quarterback out there that he would call that mother bleeper, it would be the one that he got shipped out of New England while he was there.
Yeah, the first thing that came to my mind was when Schefter earlier this year had tweeted out that the Chargers and the Bucks were the last two teams that, or the only two teams that really aggressively pursued him.
Okay.
So it doesn't, sticking with the quarterback with the Chargers wouldn't have made sense at that time because Rivers had just gone. Unless they meant like, oh, you're going to stick with Tyrod Taylor and a potential draft pick? Is that what you're going to do?
Wow.
I don't know.
So did Tom Brady take dead aim at current Texans starting quarterback?
He took.
Tyrod
he's
Taylor.
Taking a shot at my quarterback.
Right.
No, sir, Thomas Brady, not on my watch.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. That's right. We're sticking with you. You know what, Tom? That's it. Invitation retracted. I will not invite you this trade. The trade that I sent on letterhead to Bruce Arians proposing a trade of Tyrod Taylor for Tom Brady.
Revoked.
I retract that. Yes.
So I'm going through the standings. I'm going, okay, who could that mother bleeper have been that Brady was referring to? So Jimmy Garoppolo would be a logical one. And,
yeah.
I'm gonna ignore for a second your report that you just cited that it was the Chargers and the Bucks. What are the other teams that made logical sense for Tom Brady yet also had a quarterback that they, A, ended up sticking with, and B, would be a caliber of quarterback that Brady would be very dismissive of? I had three other teams. Before I get to those three teams, do any pop into your head immediately other than Jimmy Garoppolo? And
Garoppolo is the first one.
Yeah.
And I guess the other one would be the Titans with Ryan Tannehill.
Ooh, okay.
Because the Titans were...
Yeah.
That was one of the ones that was heavily rumored that Vrabel, his old pal, would want him in. So I wonder if... I could totally see him saying with Tannehill. Tannehill had already come off of a good season at that point. But Brady might have been thinking like, yeah, but imagine what they could have done with me there instead of Ryan Tannehill.
I did not have that one on my list in large part because, yes, Tannehill was really good in 2019. And they signed a new extension.
2019.
Yeah, 2019. So I didn't have Tennessee on my list. Here are the three that I thought of other than Jimmy Garoppolo. The Rams with Jared Goff. Would the Rams have made a logical landing spot for Tom Brady?
That would have, I think he definitely, I could see him saying that about Jared Goff.
Yeah.
After 2019, after a Super Bowl in which the Rams couldn't score.
Against Tom Brady's team.
Yeah, but let's not pretend like the Patriots offense was incredible in that game either. It was like the Patriots had the less awful offense in that game.
Yeah.
I could totally see him saying that about Jared Goff. I don't think he would have said it about Jimmy Garoppolo just because I don't know if they're friends, but I think they're probably cordial with each other.
That's interesting because everybody on Twitter thinks it's Garoppolo.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I know Twitter is going to skew towards drama.
I feel like even though Brady has stepped further and further outside the box in terms of just saying risque things publicly and everything, I don't see him trashing a former teammate like that, okay. Especially one where there was already some diciness.
Yeah.
That I don't. It just doesn't. It doesn't seem like what he would do. I could see him doing it privately.
Yeah.
But that one, I feel like that's more of a Goff thing.
Okay. So Seth and I are going through and trying to figure out who Tom Brady was talking about when he said this in a snippet of the trailer for the next episode of The Shop on HBO.
One of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother.
Okay, so there you go. So this, he's talking about teams. He's talking about teams that were in the running for his services to the very end in
the
offseason.
No. He said they weren't interested at the very end, right?
Yeah, they weren't interested. Yeah, at the very end, they okay, so maybe the Chargers don't fit then.
I don't think the Chargers fit because they were still very interested. I think it's a tie. I think it was Ryan Tannehill. I think it was Ryan Tannehill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Had the
Rams had discussions that were reported at that
no,
point?
No, I'm just trying to think of teams that fit the mold of where Brady would want to go to.
Yeah, you know,
it's in LA.
It's
a good team.
I bet at that point, going into 2020, the Rams were still probably like fully committed to giving Jared Goff one last stab at
maybe
it.
So.
It was everything that happened this year. So I don't think the Rams. I'd be surprised if the Rams were really on Brady's radar at that point. He was still like he'd already. Yeah.
Let me throw two more at you.
Okay.
We're trying to figure out who that mother bleeper is that Tom Brady is referring to disgustedly. The Chicago Bears and Mitchell Trubisky.
Boy, that would be a big-time one.
Yeah.
You're going to stick with that guy. Yeah. That would make more sense than Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Well, actually, it might have been Trubisky and Foles they had at that point, too. So maybe it wasn't. They had two guys. So, yeah, I don't know. I could see where Brady would be up in his feelings about Foles, given Foles beat him in a Super Bowl one time. Last one, Seth. Derek Carr and the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh. Let's see. Especially going into last year, Carr actually took a couple steps forward last year.
He did.
As a quarterback. But going into last year, yeah, I could see that totally.
Yeah.
And then would I wonder? You know, with the Bears and Matt Nagy. You know, Nagy's success or prominence came when he was running that Andy Reid style. Offense, mm-hmm. Where I wonder if he would have wanted to. I wonder if Nagy would have really been interested in an older quarterback who has zero mobility when he's had Nagy's success and the types of quarterbacks that he's wanted and they just drafted this year are guys with more athleticism. So I wonder if that's, you know, Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes, Mitch Trubisky, and now,
Justin Fields.
Yeah. What? And Tom Brady. Which one of those doesn't fit?
One of
the
these
mold?
Things is not like the other. Yeah. Absolutely. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Someone tweeted. I'm looking at my Twitter timeline. Someone tweeted, "I'll let Angel Hernandez conduct inspections of players for foreign substance if the players are allowed to inspect Angel Hernandez for cataracts." That's pretty
Shine
good.
A little light in his eyes.
That's pretty good. Yeah, what did you think of the inspections last night for the sticky substances?
It
felt like a TSA inspection to me.
Well, plus I thought they were going to be private. Weren't they? I mean, I thought they were going to go down and at some point along the way, I thought I had read that it would be in the dugout or, you know, be in the hallway behind the dugout or something. I guess that part of it, I guess the drama and the potential ratings and the viral ability of a clip of a guy getting found with a sticky substance, Major League Baseball just couldn't I guess they decided they just couldn't let that go. They want the public shaming and all the clicks that come with it.
Yeah. I'm guessing they want to be transparent as they can be and doing it out in public like that, you know.
Oh, that's true.
You know.
Well, give the ump a body cam.
There you go.
Yes. No, you know what Angel Hernandez would do? He would try. Angel Hernandez would turn off his body cam, but he would also be the guy that didn't realize that it automatically saves what was recorded, like for the 30 seconds before you turn off your body cam.
Yes.
Angel Hernandez would think like, I'm about to plant this pine tar on Framber Valdez, and I'm gonna screw him, and he's gonna actually like say it out loud while it's still being recorded.
100%. We have people texting in on the heels of our segment talking about Chick-fil-A. And how friendly they are there and tying them into one of the minor league baseball teams. Someone said with the Chick-fil-A team, they say my pleasure to you anytime you score a run against them.
Yeah.
They are very friendly.
Yeah, the friendliness can be can work against you in sports. That's what mm-hmm. I say to any kid working at you work in a Chick-fil-A. That's great. You're friendly. You're attentive. You're all of those things. Mm. You got to flip the switch when you go play ice hockey after that.
Words to live by. Absolutely.
Yeah, for all of you Houston area kids that work at a Chick-fil-A and also play hockey, ice hockey. So for all of you out
both
there.
Both of you.
That's what I'm talking to specifically.
For both of you. All right. Could this be life after football for J.J. Watt? That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Athletic has a really interesting article about football players that network executives are targeting to make broadcasters after their career is over. And they talk to an NBC executive, a Fox executive, an ESPN executive, and there's some interesting names coming up, including J.J. Watt, who is on the short list for the NBC executive, the producer of Sunday Night Football. His name is Fred Godelli, has, among others, J.J. Watt on his radar. And, Seth, let me read you what he says about J.J. Watt and see if you agree with what Godelli says. He says there are exceptions to every rule, but there are certain position groups that don't really see the game in its totality.
Oh.
I hate to stereotype anybody here, but defensive linemen, they're looking at a game in a phone booth. What position did you play, Seth?
Shot fired right at defensive linemen. That's messed up, bro.
Okay, let me finish here.
Who is this? Who's this clown?
Fred Godelli.
What's Godelli do?
He produces Sunday Night Football for NBC.
Sorry, you tend to see things from your narrow little, I'm guessing he's from Philadelphia or Boston or something.
Highest
Northeast bias.
Highest rated television show every week on TV.
Which one's Sunday Night?
Sunday Night, I think. Yeah, because it's on network TV, you know.
Yeah.
He goes on to say about J.J. Watt. So you first, you know, he kind of says defensive linemen view the game a certain kind of way. They view it in a phone booth. So you wonder how much they can talk about offensive football, the West Coast offense, spread offense in a game setting. But in a studio, J.J. would have everything you'd want. He's got star power. He's got the look. He's passionate about football. He's very smart. Obviously, he's done a lot of things off the field. He might be one of the top guys if I was looking for a studio person.
Look, I think this Ghirardelli fellow, The problem is that I think he's vastly overstating how much of those technical things are actually talked about on a football broadcast. You know, because even the guys that really, really do know what they're talking about, like to the finely detailed intricacies, they're still not really going into a whole lot of depth of what's going on any given play. One, because you can't. Sometimes you got to watch the film three or four times before you even realize what coverage was actually being played or who messed up or what have you. Two, there's not really an appetite for it in the mass audience. So,
yeah.
I would say three. Listen, Ghirardelli's chocolate. As a life lesson in general, how about you actually talk to JJ first and figure out how much he actually knows about watching the all 22 and everything that's going on in a game of football instead of just typecasting him based on the fact that he plays defensive line.
How do you think,
JJ?
How do you think, putting your feelings aside for Ghirardelli, Seth?
Well, no, because there's another thing Ghirardelli doesn't understand. A lot of defensive linemen actually do know quite a bit about coverages and whatnot because it affects how you play as a defensive lineman. Depending on what you have behind you, it changes how heavy, like what your alignment is on guys in front of you, how the strength of the formation is going to change the blitz. Now, is it possible to get away with being a little less intelligent as a defensive lineman than maybe the other positions? Of course, yes. Yeah, can you get away with being dumber as a defensive lineman? By all means, yes. But that doesn't mean that some of the guys don't pay attention to what's going on around them.
Right, right.
I despise this Ghirardelli fellow.
Yeah, Ghirardelli.
You know what it is? I mean, frankly, honestly, I hate to use the word.
What?
I hate to use any of the isms here.
What is he exercising here?
I don't want to go all that. It's the roots. It's the roots of the very thing that lead us to make judgments about groups of people.
Positionism?
You know? Is he a positionist?
Is he a positionist?
Yes. He's basically, you know what he is? He's a classist.
Mm.
He wants to live in like 17th century Britain, mm-hmm. where gentlemen know their places and the common folk know theirs.
Mm.
And
he's
he doesn't
an elitist.
Want the two to ever mix. Yeah.
He's an elitist. Yeah. Do you think JJ would be good at the stuff he's talking about here?
Yeah, I think he would. Yeah. And again, it's actually a very, like, it's honestly, like, what broadcast is he watching? It's not like Collinsworth is really going in depth or detail to the actual specifics of what's going on.
Well, it doesn't even sound like he's tagging JJ to be a game analyst. He's got him penciled in for the studio.
He's a studio guy. Yeah, he'd be really good in the studio, but I think he could do the game stuff
mm-hmm.
too. Part of it doesn't matter whether a lineman actually does know what he's talking about with the coverages or not. Part of it is just the perception of the viewers that they do want to hear from a quarterback or, a skill position player when it comes to that stuff. They want that firsthand knowledge of it. So, which I understand. I think JJ's personality has come out a lot more in the last two or three years, like where you see JJ's genuine self,
yes.
where it's not, he's not as focused on trying to build his social media following or anything. I think he's just being himself. And I think he's a lot funnier than I thought he would,
There's an irony to it that the JJ that you're referring to maybe from like 2011 through really through the time he started breaking down physically, like 2011 through 2015, that felt like a JJ that was actually auditioning for a TV job. The JJ that's been the last 5 years feels like somebody that would be just far more likable on TV.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like it might
the
be
irony
better
is,
at it because he doesn't want it as bad.
That's exactly right.
But that he also would work and prepare at it. And that's really a lot of it. I mean, the biggest question, just like scouting prospects in the draft, the biggest unknown or one of the biggest unknowns is you really have no idea how they're going to function in a pro environment. Like, are they actually going to prepare? Are they going to be able to absorb a different game plan every week? All of that. So when it comes to broadcasters, the huge question with ex-athletes is, okay, how are they going to transition into talking about other people instead of talking about themselves?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're an athlete, 90% of the questions you get are about you or your team. And it's a transition when you realize, like, oh, people don't want to hear me talk about myself all that much anymore. I got to learn how to talk about other people. And the other is just how much effort do they put into it? Because, like, Romo was awesome that first year when he still had a lot of scouting reports fresh in his brain. He's gotten steadily worse, I think. He's just flat out phoning it in at times, and it's obvious in the broadcasts, you know. So I don't know, you know. I don't know how you account for that, other than that, oh, yeah, Romo didn't have the reputation as being the hardest worker while he was a player either.
True. Yeah, that's very true. The one name that Gaudelli brings up, and you're listening to Payne and Pendergast, we're talking about Richard Deitch has an article on The Athletic where broadcasting executives are going through the short list of current players and coaches they've got earmarked for possible broadcasting jobs. J.J. Watt is one of them. The one that Gaudelli really likes, Seth, and the one who I would say is sort of the main character in this article, Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Gaudelli, yeah, who I know you're sideways with Gaudelli already because he's a positionist, but he really likes Tomlin, calls him transformational, and basically says he's the guy. Like, that's the guy that networks should want to target as the next big thing in broadcasting.
He would be like Bill Cowher, but with, I think, extra passion and engagement, I think. I think, and he probably presents better on television, too, than Bill Cowher. He's got a magnificent hairline. So I think that, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I don't see Tomlin. Does Tomlin seem particularly tired of it at all?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. He never seems tired, period, with anything. He's got those crazy eyes, man. This is what he says.
Speaking of crazy eyes, I was thinking about Tomlin the other day. I feel like the masks were bad for Tomlin. Because I've noticed that with myself. Now that the mask is off,
yeah.
I've noticed people at stores and everything, it's returned to where, like, oh, they're actually super friendly to me and
yeah.
everything. Because I think I've got kind of intense eyes
you
at
do.
Times. So when I'm trying to look extra friendly with a mask on, I look extra psychotic.
Yes.
And you combine that with my size, and I think people were just flat out scared of me.
Right.
So now without the mask on, oh.
You're a gentle giant now, is what you are. Yeah, so Tomlin, Seth, the other names they've got in here that some various executives mention as possible broadcasting stars. The ESPN guy in this thing loves Richard Sherman, Larry Fitzgerald, Russell Wilson, and Cam Newton. Those are the four that the ESPN executive has earmarked.
I don't want to hear from Russell Wilson.
Me neither.
I'd like to hear from Cam Newton. Who was the first one?
Richard Sherman. I'd like to hear from Richard Sherman about Russell Wilson. That's, and Larry Fitzgerald.
I think Richard Sherman would be. You know what? Richard Sherman is a little bit, in a weird way, kind of like Trevor Bauer, in that when you actually sit down and listen to an interview with him, they're much different than their highlight moments or their social media viral moments or their most. Now, Richard Sherman is a lot more demonstrative than Trevor Bauer,
yeah.
But they both say things that are very soundbiteable, and or you see it on social media and it might make you angry. But then when you listen to him in an interview, you're like, oh, okay, this guy's actually got a lot of depth and substance to him. So I think Richard Sherman would be pretty good, and he'd break down the game really well. Really,
no doubt, player. No doubt. 713-572-4610. Let's go to Spring. Talk to Gary. Gary, you're up on Payne and Pendergast.
Hang on just a second. Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Sean, I really love you, man. I've been following you ever since Jim Rome. And Seth, I love you too, man, because we both have the same last name. But there's two things I wanted to talk about real quick, and I don't know how much time you're going to give me. But y'all were talking about Louvies earlier, and I was born and raised in Oak Forest, so I started going to Wyatt's cafeteria as a child, and nothing better for a child than to see the food before they get it, because you just don't know what you like, you know, if you don't see it. But the one out in the Woodlands is great, and the only time they have lines is around 3:30 or 4, because that's when all the seniors come out.
That's
so
right.
Other than that, you're right, there's no lines
early bird
or anything like that.
Yep, early bird. What else is on your mind, Gary?
Yep, exactly. Okay, I was wanting to talk about Deshaun Watson, and again, I don't know if you'll let me finish or not, but if I can.
Just keep it tight. Keep it tight. That's all. Just keep it tight and don't ramble.
Okay.
That's all.
Oh, okay. And that's kind of hard for me, but anyway, I'll try. I think he's got bigger issues than football. He's got bigger issues than his lawsuit. He came to our church when he was second year with the Texans, and he gave his testimony, and his mother's his hero. She got him out of the gangs, and she worked three jobs, took him to football and everything. So, and she introduced him to God and everything, and which is good and everything. But then he got hurt with the Texans. Somebody said something or lied to him, and it hurt his feelings, and he didn't let that go. He held that, and he's got the resentment. So that's one of the issues. But the other problem is he's got a major character defect he needs to address before football. It's more important than football. I've been through this with my addiction and everything, and his, I think, is a sex addiction. But he has to admit he's got a problem. Then he has to go get help with it and find the solution to it, get back to God. If not, it's going to creep back up, and this football and all this stuff doesn't matter. So I think his number one issue is his character. He's got to fix that character. He has that one problem that controls his mind, and it's going to ruin his football career. So that's one thing I haven't really heard.
I'm glad you brought it up that way, actually, because it's because obviously the allegations are a lot more than consensual sex, but there is an image that as his lawyer has at least admitted to some consensual acts in a massage environment. And the fact that he tried to have 40 plus different massage therapists in 1 year, it does lead you to wonder, okay, let's say even if everything, all 22 women were hypothetically consensual, is that alone reason for huge concern? Like that's wilder than your average guy, right? Like even that's a pretty all encompassing obsession at that point. Yeah, I'll go with you there. I mean, Tiger Woods, after, you know, he had everything exposed and he talked about how it had kind of, his life had kind of gotten rolling out of control, that something needs to be addressed regardless of all of the legal stuff.
Yeah, because it's going to pop his head again. And he knew when he was doing all this stuff in his mind deep down in there that he was wrong. But the obsession and the addiction overrules everything. It overruled me. It superseded my job, my wife, my life, everything. It became my number one obsession in God and life, and that's what's happening here, in my opinion.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. We appreciate the phone call. Appreciate the kind words. I am very, very anxious to see what exactly that looks like when Deshaun comes back, Seth. Like, what all is he, when he does that first press conference, you know, is it just, hey, I'm just here to play football? Is it all about football? Is there some sort of sit-down interview that he does where at some point, Deshaun strikes me at some point, Seth, that feels like he's somebody at some point he's got to get to work on rebuilding his image again. Like that there's not a component to Deshaun where he can just be all about football. He does like the spotlight quite a bit.
And I guess the question is, what is the likelihood that all of this would shock him back into perhaps a different mode? What's going to, because sometimes guys are young and they're going to grow their way out of it. Or like, and I'm saying here, hypothetically, if he were actually exonerated from everything,
sure.
He's still got some issues. Even if all of that were hypothetically consensual, he's still got some issues in terms of the way he's leading his life and like where his energy is focused. I don't know. Maybe once you've got a certain amount of money, just trolling at various hours for whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what it makes me think of is Eugene Robinson. Mm-hmm. He was the guy who the night before was arrested for soliciting a prostitute the night before the Super Bowl.
Right.
And he actually came and spoke to our team once. And it was funny because, you know, he was very open and honest. And it was really cool to hear him talk. But there was a guy that his entire career had been very, very thirsty. You know, while at the same time offsetting it with a lot of really good deeds.
Man of the year.
He won the man of the year. For you youngsters, this was in 1998, the 1998 Super Bowl,
around there,
or 1998 season.
Yep.
He accepted an award for winning the NFL man of the year. And afterwards, this was the day before the Super Bowl, afterwards went out and tried to pick up a prostitute and was arrested for it. And ended up, a bunch of the Falcons were praying with him all night. The night before the Super Bowl, the Falcons got trounced in the Super Bowls by the Denver Broncos, and it was a bad situation. But he was at a point in his life, he talked about it to us, it was an obsession, you know, and it kept him from really being the person he should be.
A new era of baseball began last night. Did it meet our expectations as far as how it was executed? We'll explain and we'll hear from some of the players next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.